be right there, everybody. Be right there. And by be right there, I mean I'm going to be right there right now. Hello. Welcome to the Krigler Show. Always has been, always will be the Krigler Show. It is another wonderful day. Come on. Are you going to stay? She's staying. Everything's good. Welcome, guys. How are you doing today? Hopefully you're having a great Tuesday. It is Tuesday, right? And you know what Tuesday means, at least for the next little bit. I'm going to have Andreas joining me. Hello. Hello, sir. Welcome back to the show.
I think it's working. This conspiracy to like take over Tuesdays, I'm very proud. Good job, everyone.
Yeah, it's good. It's cool. I like it.
Thanks for having me.
We can
again.
Keep doing this as long as we're both able to be in the studio together.
Yeah, until they collapse the full Soviet Union and the gulag comes falling down upon us, we will be together.
The either physical gulag or the cyber gulag.
The ideological gulag is very real.
Dude, it's scary.
Yeah, it
and
really is.
We're going to talk about it today.
All right, I'll do a little bit. But
I mean, I know you have some things to say about it.
Yeah, okay.
So, all right, today's going to be an interesting show. Racism is everywhere. Look, systemic racism, I've found it.
Yeah.
I found it. I found it, and I'm gonna show it to you. I'm gonna prove it. I've got all sorts of different, variations of it, and it sucks. It's out there, and it's pretty terrible.
Yeah. Ironically, wherever they're looking for it, there you will find it. But you know, that's the Heisenberg uncertainty principle of racism.
What is that? What is that?
Oh, just wherever you're looking at, some reality strikes a pose when you're looking at it.
Okay. Yeah, basically these people, all the people that are pointing racism, they're wearing racist hats.
Yeah,
which helps. And masks and
it's a great way to find
shirts.
It. Yeah, it's like they went to the racism expo.
Yeah.
And they're like all I got was this stupid t-shirt about racism.
Yeah, basically. All right, so we got all sorts of examples. We're going to rant about it for a little bit cuz it's just ridiculous how embarrassing it is. There's all sorts of different things, so we're going to get into it. Then we're going to talk about time travel.
Good.
I know you're excited about this.
I've been excited, but that means it sounds like a time travel joke. So, but seriously.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for this moment.
Yeah, it's funny. I found this article last week. I think it was like after, it was Tuesday night.
Yeah.
After we did our episode last week, I found this article and I was like, this is cool.
Yeah.
And I hit you up and you're like, this is cool.
This is exactly
and
what
I was
we're
like,
all about.
We got to talk about this.
I mean, curving light. We were saying everybody placed your bets, whether you can curve light or not.
Right.
Here we go.
Yeah. You were talking to me about manipulating the speed of light, not just curving light.
Yeah.
You were saying you can increase the speed of light.
It's the shortest distance between two places.
Which I was like,
line.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't agree that you can change it.
I'm not comfortable, you could say, with that idea. Sure.
Okay. So we're going to talk about that. I got this cool article about basically laser-powered spiraling around to manipulate time. Very cool article. And now it's not it's more of an idea.
Yeah, this is still hypothetical paperwork.
Yeah.
But the ideas are solid on what you can do with light through laser. That part's legit. What we can do with that, God only knows. Let's find out.
Ooh, it's exciting. Anyway, we're going to talk about it. Very cool. And then we're going to talk about Mushroom Earth. I saw someone in chat like, what is Mushroom Earth?
Ask
what is
Paul Stamets.
What is
You'll
that?
See.
Yeah. And so we're going to talk about it. We got there's a cool, someone in my Discord posted this article maybe a few days ago. It was just basically long before trees were a thing, before our Earth was covered in green. It was basically just giant mushrooms everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, giant in weird ways.
10, 12 feet tall mushrooms.
Or just
4
wide.
Feet wide.
Yeah, or wider. You know, we could talk about mile-wide mushrooms.
And well, those exist today.
Well, these are the things that came out of the sea first. The first life to emerge from the
sea. The mushrooms.
Yeah, and to break down the soil. So, pretty cool.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about that. And I have some references from some newer movies. Sonic the Hedgehog. I don't know if you've seen it.
Super good.
You've seen it, right?
Yeah, we got pretty deep into that thought. Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it, actually.
His mother owl. I still weep for the owl.
The mother owl.
But we'll remember that movie later.
We'll do a little moment of silence for Sonic's mother.
Toss some yellow gold rings for Sonic.
Toss a ring to the mother. I was going to say Witcher, but that's a different different IP.
Unless they exclude the IP, the IP's connected, okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right. All right. Okay, so let's get into it. So first and foremost, we're going to talk about racism. All right,
this is so much fun.
It's not. It is fun.
I'm kidding.
It isn't. It's fun to call out people.
Yeah.
Who think that they're being all virtuous when in reality they're being racist.
Totally.
And that's basically what all of it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's these people that think that minorities need help.
You know who came up with the
term? They need a pat on the head. Oh, you need some help because you're not of this skin color. Like, that's basically what it is.
And it's any kind. It could be, you know, socioeconomic discrepancies made for no other reason than pet causes are needed for a political fight. And so pet causes are requiring pets. So they start to indoctrinate people into believing that they're part of some controlled ideology. Do you know where the word racism comes from?
What?
Trotsky. Straight up, look it up. Trotsky created the word racism, and it had to do with the idea of, you know, that these people, these pan-Slavics, were missing the point because they were trying to create a nationalist state when really we should be creating an ideological state. So racism is a problem because it's uniting nationalism, it's uniting too many people. It's a false idea, though.
And we can't have people be united.
No.
Unless divide and conquer. That's what they need.
Unless they're united by Marxism.
As
Trotsky was thinking.
Goodness sakes. Okay, so the first thing I want to show is a bill that Senator Cruz brought to the House or to the Senate. And here it is. It's S-937 to prohibit federal funding for any institution of higher education that discriminates against Asian Americans for recruitment, applicant review, or admissions because they tend to have higher scores. It just happens to be. And for me, I'm all about meritocracy. Yeah. I want the people who earn it to get in, not be reduced to skin color or other things along those lines that you can't change. And look at this. Every single Republican voted, yeah, that's a good idea. And I agree. And look, every single Democrat said, nay, not a good idea.
Well, there you go.
That systemic racism.
Yeah, literally.
Look at that.
Literally engineered racism. Engineered.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
Bureaucratically, we've laid out a new road that will then hire people based on or not based on. What is it? Is it based on their skills? No, we're talking about literally what they look like and what box they check.
Democrats are like, whoa. We need to be able to discriminate against these Asian Americans because they're too smart and they're getting all the positions in higher education. These other people, these minorities, can't get in because they don't have the test scores. And it's like, okay.
Aren't we supposed to be elevating
Shouldn't we be trying to get them to have the test scores and earn it?
Why are we bringing people down? Why are we trying to bring everyone down?
Mm.
If we find anyone who's starting to make it out of the trapezoid, out of that pyramid scheme, then we try to bring them down. Aren't we supposed to be trying to uplift? Shouldn't we be bringing everyone up?
I agree.
It's pretty crazy.
Definitely. Look at this. The Jim Henson Company.
Disney.
People are freaking out because the Jim Henson Company on May 12th sent this tweet out. The Jim Henson, who's a white man, by the way.
Well, he's dead now. Disney owns it now.
Okay, he was a white man?
Yeah, okay.
Jim Henson Company.
Yeah.
Okay, headquarters in Los Angeles is seeking top talent and new creative voices from diverse communities and backgrounds to train as puppeteers in the Jim Henson technique. Please see posted images for complete submission guidelines. And you see here, currently seeking members of the LGBTQ, people of color, women of all cultural backgrounds. And the internet is awash with just, well, what about if you're a straight white guy that really has been trying to work at Jim Henson whole life?
Wait a while. You'll be a minority very soon. Don't worry.
Does that mean? What are you trying to say?
Well, all right. Let's think of a second, though, about this, because I hate that we're calling this the Jim Henson Company. I mean, I know legally
we
legally have to because Disney owns it. But let's go back and see how this started, which was Jim Henson made deals to make commercials in the 60s where he said, I will own my puppets.
Okay.
You can have this 30-second, you know, whatever, but I want to own my puppets afterwards, which led to Disney buying it from him while he was dying of cancer.
Oof.
So if you really look at the Jim Henson story, it's a tragedy.
That sounds tough.
What they've done to what Disney's done to the Muppets and to everything is just it's terrifying beyond
Agreed.
The fact that he died the way he did.
But I just find it interesting that it's a puppet.
Yeah.
So what does skin color have to do with it?
Well, you saw Elmo met a puppet who identified as a person of color, right?
But that's still a puppet.
Right. No.
It's a puppet.
Well, but puppets
you've got your hand up their butt making them talk.
Puppets are really the best. I mean, you think about Mr. Rogers.
I mean,
puppets to communicate, you know.
But they were puppets still.
But it's therapy.
A puppeteer doesn't, you don't see the person.
Right.
So what does that have to do with anything?
Yeah. I mean, it's also never been a problem for, like, for instance, Elmo was done by a black puppeteer. Like,
okay.
I mean, a lot of the puppeteers were not white males. There's a few, Big Bird, you know, for sure.
Okay.
But, like, there's a lot that weren't. And
wait, Big Bird was not a person of color?
No, he was, a Caucasian, you know, as they say.
Canceled.
Yeah, essentially. You know, he almost
canceled Big Bird, everyone.
They almost put him on the rocket ship. I mean, imagine that would have been a quick way to get rid of him, I guess.
Jeez.
Yeah. But like now you look at like what the Muppets are, and they started out like Oscar the Grouch was orange and he was kind of brown, and they made him green because they were like, the point of this is that we're all persons of color. We're all pink. Yeah. Pink Floyd.
Yeah, they were all different colors.
Right.
The Muppets, right?
Yeah. And so now what we're doing is we're acknowledging the social hierarchy from the past that we were trying to avoid so hard. We were trying to build a new world.
Yes.
Jim Henson's whole thing was he created Fraggle Rock because he said, okay, after the Muppets, that's not good enough. After Sesame Street, that's not good enough. I want to end the Cold War. I want to unite the Soviet Union with the United States. And he created Fraggle Rock.
What a cool... Fraggle Rock was awesome.
What a crazy goal, too.
You guys remember Fraggle Rock? How many people out there remember Fraggle Rock?
Dude, please do.
Very cool. Very cool.
One of the best shows ever. And literally the goal of it was to end the idea of the Soviet Union and the United States having a Cold War with each other.
Bring the mic up so you're not... Better. So you don't have to like...
Change. Fair enough. I like it getting down in that like Jim Henson mode.
No, you're good. You're good.
But yeah, no, I mean, he wanted to unite people based on all of their differences.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of weird because like we talked about last time, this idea of being unique and being different is no longer the goal of this alternative. Instead, they want you to all wear this the same Doc Martens and have the same rainbow flag, but you have to have the same flag.
Yeah.
And so it becomes this uniformity. It becomes to conserve the values of the 1970s gay pride movement.
Yeah.
Which is like, imagine you have LGBT conservatives now, right? Neoconservatives.
They do exist.
That's what it is.
Those people exist.
Imagine all the people.
Yeah, I imagine. So look, even in Doctor Strange, or even when WandaVision, Doctor Strange was supposed to be in it, and like in the original story, I guess he was. And Kevin Feige actually came out and was saying he was cut from WandaVision because... he's white and a male.
Yeah.
And in a different article I found that he basically said, well, you know, it just the last episode to like bring in Doctor Strange and be like, I'm a white guy, let me show you power. And it's like, but it's Doctor Strange. That's like that's the story. Like, you're changing the story to try to appease these people.
I mean,
and adhere to that.
I could creatively written an interesting Doctor Strange scene. They took it out. This is
sure
textbook censorship.
Yeah.
This is when the Soviet Union had you pull out page 2 and 3 and 4 because they thought the history or the rule, you know, they didn't want that to politically change the message.
Mm.
So it's really like censorship is worse because eventually it will come up that this mattered.
True.
Have you seen the new Cinderella?
No, I haven't.
Google the new Cinderella.
Oh, goodness, why?
What do you call it? Fairy godmother. Check out who the fairy godmother is right there. Yeah. It's, pro tip or pro hint, it is a fairy godmother is the idea.
Okay.
No, is that it? No. It's a black man is the new
is
fairy godmother.
It? Is this it?
I think that might be it. And yeah, the new fairy, yeah, in Cinderella.
It looks like a man.
Yeah, it's a transvestite, or I'm not sure what they're referred to. I hope that's okay, actually.
I who knows anymore.
Right. But you know, whomever they are, it's you know, a person of color. It's a person who identifies as LGBTQ.
Yeah.
And they are going to play the fairy godmother, which is great. But the thing is, it also is upsetting a lot of, you know, what we call feminist TERFs, which are women who are biologically women who've advocated for women for 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
And so they're seeing...
I think it's a lot longer than that.
Well, some of these people have only been alive for so
true,
long.
True. But yeah, the movement lives. Has been going for a long time.
Absolutely. Yeah. But the third wave feminists are the ones who we look at now and say, okay, we don't know about the transgendering of women. Because we want to represent biological women, they become natalists and all these other terms for them.
Yeah.
But they're the ones who are kind of scared about this because this is encroaching not just in sports now, but even in the idea of the fairy godmother. You know, it's taking away all of their roles. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But it's doing what they want, you know.
I mean, this stuff is getting ridiculous. Like, look at this. The University of Illinois is now condemning the use of digital blackface.
Oof.
Or when non-black individuals use GIFs or emojis featuring black people. And I saw this and I'm like, it's almost like they're trying to convince the world that black people are different.
Right.
But they're different. They can't. What did I say? I said.
Their feelings.
What? Because black people can't represent human emotions that anyone can connect to.
Wow.
Because, like, for example, like this guy. All right, I see him all the time. Yeah. It's like, use your brain.
I identify with this
guy. I identify with it also. Like, I see that because so many people are, like, dropping bombs, and then they're like, you think about that one. And right. It's like, I get that look. That's a human being that I see, that I connect with, that I'm like, I'm going to share that because he is portraying something that I can relate to. Just because he's different skin color, I'm not allowed to relate to him anymore, or he can't, like... No one is allowed to.
That's terrifying.
That's so terrifying.
Think about what it means. Essentially, is they're saying that anyone's experiences now, you're not allowed to relate to them. Mm-hmm. They're trying to separate us in as many ways as possible into this curiarchy where we don't know each other and we're not allowed to understand each other. Now, I don't know, but when I was a kid in kindergarten, the whole deal was trying to teach us how to understand each other. So I find this mind blowing.
Yep.
I mean, the lack of being able to use memes, especially. Like, think about what a meme is. We were talking about earlier, you can't steal a meme, right? No, like, you have to share the meme.
Yeah, memes have to be stolen before they become a meme.
Yeah.
It's like part of being it's the meme in the final stamp of life.
Yeah.
Like, and it is now a meme.
Yeah.
Now that it's been stolen.
So, I mean, like, and if you think about, like, cultural appropriation, yesterday we're having Forrest Cooper here from Recoil Magazine, and he was saying, you know, his wife, who's Ojibwa, that's a kind of native tribe, they didn't have a writing system. They have a very interesting singing oral history, but they didn't have a writing system. So, theoretically, anytime she's using writing, he's joking with her, it's cultural appropriation. So, I mean, when are we going to allow ourselves to get back to that idea of fusion, of working together, of cappuccino economy where we can create new ideas and work together again?
Yeah, when is that going to be the case?
I wonder.
I don't know. Like Aunt Jemima here?
Oh, no.
Aunt Jemima.
Vapor Sharia.
You know what Aunt Jemima is now?
Vapor Sharia.
Pearl Milling Company.
They might as well have called it White Pearl Milling Company. I mean, like, what is this?
Pearl Milling Company. You know what? When I saw Aunt Jemima, I was like, you know what? They're not even allowed to be, you know, on packaging.
So,
anymore.
So sad for their family.
Why not? But there's Mr. Clean is still there.
For now.
What's wrong with it? I see Aunt Jemima and I'm like, she looks like a pleasant, happy, smiling human being.
They're getting rid of all of them, though. I think Mr. Clean will be one of the, I hate to jinx it, but like
so,
one of the next.
So no one's allowed to be a mascot?
Right.
Nobody.
Since, this is like what, you know about Sharia law and Muhammad, that no one's allowed to emulate not just Muhammad, but the human form.
Huh.
So what they want to do, if you've looked at like in the Taliban, there's photos of like people going by markets and the hair dye that they have.
No, I don't know this.
The hair dye will have all of the faces of the women sharpied out so you can't see their faces and just have the different colored hairs. And this is where we're going. We're going to a place where human form will be offensive.
This is ridiculous.
It is, but it seems like the only way for them to destroy our culture completely.
Everyone's culture.
Yeah, all of the culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the weird thing is, a lot of it is about breaking up what is a united thing. Like you said, I think Teilhard Chardin, one of my favorite physicists and philosophers, said, we are not humans having the spiritual experience. We are spirit having the human experience. And so often we're looking at it like, oh, we're divided by these things. These are such material divisions that we're talking about. We're talking about the most material divisions now. Things like the color of you, really? Like in a rainbow spectrum reality, like, I mean, you are the most, you're colorblind, right? Like you're the person who sees people who they are.
Literally, though.
Literally.
I am actually colorblind. It's not in like the, not, I'm not racist.
But
I'm,
in a weird
I,
way,
I
you aren't
see
also.
Colors.
But you also are like not racist. Like you just kind of identify people as people who make their own choices.
And yet these people out there probably consider me racist because I'm against critical race theory.
Well, also
because I'm against all of this stuff.
And because you're for, more than what you're against, because you're for advocating for the human spirit regardless of all of these material divisions.
Exactly.
I mean, you're like, this guy made these choices. I like that. This person made those choices. I don't know about that.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Choice privilege. Choice privilege.
Yeah.
People don't talk about that.
No.
Making the right choices is a privilege that people don't think they even have anymore.
Yeah, it's where honor comes
and
from.
Every single time they quote Martin Luther King Jr., and I'm like, oh, you don't even understand his teachings.
Not even once.
He said we cannot look at the characteristics that people cannot change. And that's what they're telling us to do. We must solely focus on the things, these characteristics that people can't change. Why?
Even Malcolm X, who started out being like, you know, we need to advocate for our own people because mm-hmm. we're a separated people. We've been treated this way, so this perpetuation exists. Even he ended up by saying, let me get out of this paradigm and go somewhere else and pray with people to the same thing, which is, you know, through different people that have different colored hairs and eyes, all different kinds of people, but we come to a new nation, a new idea, a new idea.
Whoa. Unity? Whoa.
Yeah. Why he got assassinated.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, we can't have people come together. We can't have people uniting and being, you know, recognizing that we're all human beings, that we're strong together.
The only way to suppress democracy, like if you think about what's more powerful than a nuclear bomb as a weapon, it's democracy. George Bush brought democracy to destroy a nation, right? Hmm. Because the majority mob can then destroy any minority.
Democracy.
Right? You can take away any self-determination of any smaller group. So the weapon is used by, like, the trigger pulling is curiarchy. And curiarchy is the thing which divides you up into these smaller and smaller groups. Hmm. So that you can never have more than 49%. If any time people have 51%, then it becomes violent. So you have to have these multi-partisan breakups and schisms.
How do we break that, you know? Like, how do we rise above and be like, you know what? Powers that be, I don't care.
Well, media has to shift to more shows like yours, you know, shows that are less about debate and more that are about conference and trying to find a shared lens.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to try to unite.
Yep. Yep. Thank you. I agree. We got to get more people out there to talk about this kind of stuff right here. All right. I'm over it. I'm over
process
it.
That.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. Like, we can sit and talk about this. I feel like I talk about it way too much. And someone even hit me up on Twitter today. They're like, you know what? I followed you because you don't like Biden, but you talk about Biden all the time. I'm unfollowing. And I'm like, okay, you know, he's the president right now. You know, he's making all the, now he's actually in charge. You don't think I'm going to talk about him more?
Yeah.
And critique him and say, look at what this guy is doing. Like, what do you do? Go shove your head in the sand right. for 3 years while this guy practically ruins the country / the world because that's what's happening right now.
But it does help to look at what we're doing abroad right now. I mean, it's fascinating. All of these things are synchronizing together. Everything from, you know, bringing finances to financing Palestine. Biden was the one to start financing Palestine again.
$230 million.
A couple months ago. And so it's interesting to watch how this happens, how to watch the oil, how to watch the trading.
And and now he just sold Israel like $700 million in weapons.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you guys... Do you ever watch IDEX? Do you watch
what is that?
So in Jordan, there's an Arab emirate, and also in UAE, you know, they have the United Arab Emirate. They have a gun expo or a trade expo for weapons. And so what happens is the American corporations that make guns, all these military contracted Lockheed-like companies, the drones and trucks and but all these little ones you haven't heard of either, they all go there and they sell all this stuff directly. And so there's like a level of proxy between the government's money here to these corporations building the weapons and then them going abroad and selling them to this level of proxy to these other states. So it's pretty interesting to see who has these major weapons and weapons you don't even know exist, really. You know?
I'm sure. I don't even want to know about that.
Well, that's what's been going on. Like, that was February. Yep. So if you think about what's happened, it's nice to see kind of a timeline.
I mean, the guy canceled our pipeline. Right. But now quietly just agreed to let Russia build a pipeline from Russia down into Germany through the Baltic Sea.
Yeah.
And it's like, how is this okay? Like, why is it okay for other people? Why are they trying to build a pipeline from the Middle East up through Syria into Turkey? It's like, why are these pipelines okay in other places? Why is it okay for other people to have low environmental protections, but not here? I mean, we have really good environmental protections, but why isn't anyone calling out China for being the number one polluter in the world by 3 times at least? It's crazy.
Because our president's a Russian bot, basically.
Is that what you think?
Yeah. B-O-U-G-H-T.
Russian bot?
Yeah.
You think he's a bot to Russia?
He's bought by Russia.
You think Russia has purchased Biden?
I mean, it's...
Not China? Russia?
I mean, both of them clearly have major stakes in Canada and the United States.
Okay, but you're making the claim that Biden is bought and sold.
Almost any politician is bought and sold. Isn't that what it means to be a politician?
Well, of all the politicians that I've looked up and researched over the past year, he's the only one that someone asked, what do you think about the corrupt politicians? And his response was, how do you know I'm not one of them?
That's pretty good.
I'm not joking. He said that. That was his actual response.
See, it's nice that we picked the, you know, usually we pick the lesser of two evils. I like how we went with the more of two evils this time because it's more sinister. It's interesting.
Well, because they had everybody convinced that he was the lesser of two evils.
That's terrifying.
People are convinced that that's was the way to go.
I kind of think, though, like, so I think the truth is, you look at people like my mom who voted against Trump at the first time, mm-hmm. and the second time around, they were thinking, we don't need a nice guy. We need a mean guy, just like they've got. Somebody who's meaner even. Someone who's more Trumpy than Trump. And so Biden's like, he doesn't come off as that nice of a guy.
He does sound kind of like an a-hole, man.
Not just that, he comes off as this kind of mobster from Pennsylvania attitude that he cleans up crime the dirty way. You know, he'll fight dirty
to win. I'm
gonna
fight crime with crime.
Yeah, sometimes you don't want to be the most good because the world's so evil. So they were thinking to themselves, okay, we lost because we were too goody two shoes. We need someone who's more, you know. And yeah, they got it. They sure got with it. They made a bargain with the devil, and they got it.
Well,
hypothetically.
Well, let's leave it at that. I don't know. We kind of went on a little tirade there, but that's okay. Let's talk about time travel.
Oh yes. Can we use it to stop this all?
Yeah, maybe. Well, some say that Trump has the ability to time travel.
Yeah, because of his uncle, right? You've heard that whole story.
John Trump. So I don't know if you guys know this. President Trump's uncle basically got all of Tesla's stuff.
Yeah.
All of his experiments, his books. Back in the 50s, I think. It was like early 1952, I believe. I don't remember exactly the date, but he acquired it all. And that's where the trail ends.
Well, so they stole a lot of Tesla's papers to the Aliens Act, which was an illegal seizure. But at the end of the 70s, everything else was stolen right out from under him that he'd privately worked on, too.
From who?
From Tesla's apartment in New York City.
Yeah.
Military operation. But it was taken to MIT. And at MIT, they had to figure out who's the best scientist in America that they could use. And it was obviously Uncle Trump. So John was like, you know, if you want to look him up, like, look up x-ray videos that he made. Because there's hour-long talks he was giving on all of these vacuum tube technologies he was working on for x-raying specifically. But not just for medicinal x-rays. That was just where the money was coming from to do some of the research. Yeah.
Interesting. All right. So, and there's this also a conspiracy theory that Baron Trump, President Trump's youngest son, is actually from the past or has gone into the past. What's the story about Baron Trump? I know you know this one.
Okay, so there's a multitude of ways to look at this, but basically the way I've come to understand it is that there are simultaneously a number of past, presents, and futures, right? And some of these converge with each other.
Yeah.
So I did an episode you can actually check out on my channel, an interview with Cynthia Sue Larson from the IMEC, which is the International Mandela Effect Conference. And she's been into this since Art Bell back in the 90s. There's an idea of collective misremembrances, but the idea would have been that there are multiple realities that imagine it like this. If you could take a recording of how the sun blew up that caused the Big Bang that we're from, could you in another star system recreate it to an effect that it basically happened again? And so if you can imagine subatomic particles realigning, you would have moments, there's spaces, time spaces that look like this one but are different. So Baron Trump could be in a multitude of realities.
Well, it's interesting. Check this book out. So this is just, I just typed this up randomly, and it's two books, too. Right. And I know you know about the other one. This is his son, Baron Trump. And this is the drawing on the cover of Time Travel. This is not the original cover. Where is it?
Baron von Trump. That's the last president.
Well, here's the other book.
And you know,
The last president. Do you have this book?
I have it read out by my voice, my robot voice I sent you at one point.
Oh, yeah. I know that one.
You guys got to hear that book read to you. It's incredible.
It's pretty incredible. Anyway, you know, the whole reason we're talking about time travel is because of this article. All right. Time machine prototype shows how laser-powered journeys back in time could happen.
Right.
This is cool. Check this out. Sci-fi has taught us, or has thought of a myriad of contraptions to catapult folks backwards through time. A tricked-out phone booth that's bigger on the inside, swirling portals that appear out of nowhere, an 82 DeLorean that first needs to get to 88 miles per hour. But what about lasers? Physicist and UConn professor Ron Millet, believes that it could at least be possible someday. Motivated at a young age by the untimely loss of his father, Millet became fascinated with science fiction and always wished to find a way to travel back in time. H.G. Wells, The Time Machine, forever changed his life. Now he's created a prototype time machine that shows how laser beaming lights in circles could literally turn the clock back. By studying the type of gravitational fields that was produced by a ring laser, this could lead to a new way of looking at the possibility of a time machine based on a circulating beam of light, Millet told CNN. Eventually, a circulating beam of light of laser lights could act as a sort of time machine and cause a twisting of light that would allow you to go back into the past. Space is already being bent by the gravity exerted from every single object that exists in the universe. That is Einstein's theory of general relativity at work. When you add everything together, it's as if the gravitational force from a behemoth mass out there is pulling on space. Pull hard enough, and you could, at least theoretically, twist space and time. Both will end up twisted because whatever happens to space also happens to time. Einstein called it space-time for that reason. Here is where it gets freaky. Say you did twist space and simultaneously twisted time by doing so. Millet thinks that by using a ring laser to twist time into a loop, you could fast forward or rewind over and over again. While the laws of physics always seem to get in the way when theorizing about backwards time travel, there is nothing to say it is impossible. Sound familiar? Enter the wormhole. If you are a fan of science fiction, you've probably seen someone get sucked through a wormhole or a hypothetical tunnel in space that is a shortcut from one region of space-time to another. Think of how John Creighton's spaceship flew into one and ended up innumerably light years away from Earth in Farscape. The thing is, opening up a wormhole isn't even easy in theory. Even an atomic bomb does not have the energy to drive a time machine. For a time machine, you need the energy of an exploding star. City right. University of New York physicist and professor Michio Kaku, who also acknowledges that Einstein's theory allows for time travel, told Closer to Truth in a video interview. There was a crack even in Millet's theoretical time machine. While information should be effectively zapped back in time, it can only go as far as the point in which you turned the machine on.
Mm-hmm.
Bummer. The thing is, because physics is so weird, there might still be a loophole hiding somewhere in the time loop. Millet is determined to fund real-life experiments with an actual laser as soon as he can. It's probably really expensive. If he can so much as prove that there is a rewind button in the fabric of space-time, it will be a tremendous breakthrough. Until then, check out the very real DeLorean that might not be able to go back in time but can drive itself through unbelievable twists and turns. And it's just a bunch of different Farscape scenes.
Right.
But that is really cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's interesting. It's literally what we were talking about a second ago about star fabrication in order to create reset moments. And there are algorithms that we can use right now to take a video or a film, and we look behind it, and we can see through the math, the people filming the camera. We can actually record and see in the light enough data to get a recording of what was behind the film.
Interesting.
And you can look at some actor's face, and they can see, you know, with the right software, who was there filming it and what their hat was like. So,
but isn't that just the film like taking in the light?
Right.
Right.
Taking in the light.
Right.
So if we're using that same idea and we can do multiple metrics of subatomic particles and how they're forming and breaking down at CERN, and the Hadron Collider is one of many. I mean, there's ones from the 70s. There's one in China. The Soviet Union has two. Or, I'm sorry, the Russian Federation. But there is a but there definitely is a number of linear accelerators which can be used. And the idea that space is a perfect vacuum is flawed. I mean, obviously there's a lot up there. So these ideas of wormholes, I mean, what they are has a lot more to do with density and stars imploding on themselves.
Right.
We've got better vacuums, though, down here on Earth. We're able to create a vacuum that's more vacuumous than space. So we're able to... Space that we know about.
Right, because we only exist in this small little marble
right.
in this ever expanding sea of stars.
But theoretically, create a Dyson sphere, mm-hmm. shoot a laser from a star at another star, and then send that data, explode that star, start a sequence down again, and we would recreate the steps it took to create our universe. And
or blow ourselves up and the universe as we know it.
There are feedback loops that we need to predict, but like right. if we're doing this and we have like the right kind of math to do it, then theoretically, far enough away in space, we should be able to duplicate ourselves.
There's a point though where this kind of feels like we're toying with the fabrics of.
We are literally toying. That's the word.
I know. Yeah, that's why I used that word. It's like we're playing around, and we could just end.
Right.
The universe. Like,
well, that's why we're careful. So the idea is to have backup systems. So I don't know if you've seen Primer. I guess we haven't. Everyone watched the 7,000
Hold on, hold on, hold on. You said that's why we're careful.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the human race.
No. We're talking about way more than the human race. We're talking about reality.
Who's we then? Who's we in that situation that you just said?
I guess it's a great. Okay, so I
don't know. It's the human beings that are doing it.
How ready are you to talk about light beings and aliens? Like, do you think we're the only ones here? Right?
What do you think? Should we?
Let's do it.
Let's dive in. Please.
Let's do it. Okay.
Enlighten me,
so,
sir.
So, the Hopi, the Iroquois, a lot of native people, they've always talked about insectoid time travelers.
What? You just did a video on this.
Yeah.
Mind you, I haven't seen it, but I saw that you posted it about some insectoid alien
yeah.
race or something.
I'm not
something.
The first one to even mention
what
this.
What is going on with that?
Okay.
Does it relate to time travel?
Absolutely.
Please go on.
So, a lot of people think that there are these aliens that aren't actually from another space, but they're just from another time.
Okay.
And they're interacting with us through light. And they're able to go back, and there's also subterranean Schumann resonance Faraday zones, which are underground,
okay.
which they're able to live inside of. And that they're actually working to engineer the human race. And so they're actually, at certain points in our history, they've helped us evolve the Hellion Havelockian period, where we introduce some of the grammar that makes us different, like in the divine Egyptian and Greek times.
Yeah.
But also that the Gen Z has been rewired. So
have you heard of the Majestic 12?
Yeah, absolutely. The MJ-12 documents. Totally.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's kind of similar to what you're going on right now.
Right in the desert, right above where these caves are?
Yeah
totally. And so there's some ideas about it that it make perfect sense to me, that we're interacting with consciousness, not just ghosts or something.
Yeah.
But like these EVPs could be future beings, and this is one of the things about...
Could
like,
it be past beings also?
To only the limit of how long this machine has been running for, right?
Well, but that's going on the fact that we're the ones that turned the machine on.
Right.
Because what if the machine was created 50,000 years ago?
Or more.
And there was a machine that... Or a million years ago. Or a billion... Whatever
what if,
it
what
is.
What if stars... Some of the stars are actually these machines?
What if the stars... What if our sun is the machine?
Yeah.
And that is already running, and they're projecting into the future, so that's where we're perceiving it.
That's literally the Kardashev scale, is this idea that... You know,
what is that?
Kardashev was a Soviet scientist who predicted that we were going to hit a point where we have zero entropy, and then from there we're going to pollinate the solar system.
Okay.
And that based on our progress as a species and civilization, where we are in terms of astronomy, other stars that have other Earth-like conditions, enough so that they could form life, they would also have done this sometime before us.
Wow.
And so there would be actually likely that there are aliens that exist, but have also gone extinct, some of them, and others that have moved forward with these backup plans for the reality.
I've seen some videos recently of military officers mm-hmm. talking and explaining to their to the soldiers under them
mm-hmm.
about the different species of aliens that we are in contact with.
Oh, yeah.
And have told us about intergalactic wars.
Yeah.
And
interdimensional wars.
I mean, I was kind of like, what is this?
Well, you saw Ninja Turtles. I mean, it's all there. Right?
Yeah.
All of this stuff has been in the media forever, right? This idea that we're sending submarines to Saturn, and that we're fighting in Dimension X, and that we're bringing back Krang the Brain from the reptilian overlord of Terminator. I mean, and all of this is the same.
You know what this makes me think of?
What?
Alex Jones was right on so many levels.
Yeah.
And he's talking about interdimensional space beings that are coming to fight us.
Well, all this stuff is stuff that people in the military have been talking about for 40 years. Have you heard of the 20 and back program?
I laugh, but how that would suck if he was right about that.
Well, there's... Okay. There's two sides of it. Make sure we go back to the 20 and back program. But before we do, to be fair, in the 80s, in the 70s, during the Cold War, there were times when the CIA would find someone who was listening in because they had a really great radio, and they figured out that they were hearing something. They didn't know it was the CIA because it was encrypted, but the CIA knew they were picking up on it. And somebody saying that they heard something like that out in the middle of the like place where the government base was would be bad for the Soviet Union to find out about.
Right.
So the best thing they could do is drug the guy and wear masks and make them think that they were crazy and seeing aliens.
Right. Okay.
And there's a number of operations where we've convinced people that have picked up on something they shouldn't have that they were seeing aliens. And that, you know, this is a thing that's happened a number of times. That doesn't have anything to do, though, with all of these other events we're talking about.
Yeah.
So the 20 and back program.
Yeah,
you got these guys in the 50s during the Korea War, million or so soldiers that have disappeared since the Philadelphia Project. Some of them have come back and they've said, I'm not myself anymore for a period of time. And then they come back and they're like, all of a sudden, like, I feel like myself again.
Yeah.
But I went to space. I was working for the government and I was in a submarine on Saturn or somewhere in space. And when I was, every 20 years, they gave me a 20 and back. So I'm now back 40 years or 60 years in the past and I'm reliving my life for the second time, because simultaneously the original version of me is out somewhere in Dimension X working for the government to build the New World Reset Order. And that's
okay. Wait, hold on. Let me just take that in for a second.
Do just breathe.
What?
Yeah.
So you're trying to tell me that there's not that you believe it. I don't know if
I'm actually more open to this than some of the crazier things I've heard.
Okay. So you're saying that you don't think that these people are just MK Ultra to like no end?
I mean, as considering how much research I've done into MK Ultra, some of this stuff holds too much water.
Really?
Yeah. In terms of what I understand about physics and what we now know about, if you look at the Sheohalin experiment and we start to see some of the, like, why is Elon going as above, so below? Why is he trying to hit the Boring Company at the same time? There are multiple things that were going in both directions in terms of holographic reality.
It is interesting that he is going in both directions.
I think dimensionality is the thing we're missing here, because so many people who believe in space think it's so far away that they're not going to deal with it when Oumuamua comes and swings around our space, you know?
Dude, there's too many people that believe that don't believe that space even exists.
Yeah, but it's weird.
I get told all the time when I post anything from NASA.
Yeah. Well, a lot of NASA stuff is faked. That's not, well, or engineered or manipulated.
Okay, and yes, there's CGI pieced together things.
But you're aware of that. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
But we're living in space right now. This is a space. We're on a planet.
I mean, I've looked at Saturn through a telescope with my own eyes, and I've seen it there. I've seen Saturn.
But it's so much more beautiful that way.
Well, but they claim that it was painted. Oh, no, that's painted up there. Like,
yeah, well,
so you think I was looking through a telescope at a painting on the ceiling of the globe, like of the sky dome or whatever the heck they think it is? That's ridiculous.
There are some people that are not just they're not just beyond open-minded. They're skeptics to a degree of they don't believe anything ever, right?
Oh, no, they believe what they believe.
They believe what they
very,
believe.
Very, very strongly.
Yeah. But if you think about holographic metaphysics, quantum physics, what we understand about metriquing dark matter, Michael Tabat, like the idea that the universe is a flat space-time foam that's expanding in both directions and also contrasting on itself, and it's a flat, like it's a holographic plane. That is essentially true. And so a lot of physicists are coming to the conclusion that we're experiencing depth of reality the same way a hologram sees laser from different dimensions of power density. Hmm. So, I mean, it's weird because some of it's true, and it's important because it's breaking down the perceptions we have about reality, which are wrong, because so much of science is not based on Socrates' method or Isaac Newton, or and it's based on David Hume, a philosopher who said empiricism was real. We've just experienced 100 years of acute schizophrenic drugs, people that see things wrong, and also machines that can't tell the difference between one photo of you and a cat. There are a bunch of experiments we can do to see that we're experiencing things in our own individual way, and that universally we can get a shared lens to tell us more about reality. So reality is shifting in our understanding of it.
Yeah.
I won't be surprised at all to find, though, that we're not the only consciousness that exists. And if you think about what we're, you know, leading into mushrooms, consciousness takes all different forms.
You know, we're talking about time travel now, right?
Yeah. But it's, okay. But time, again, like, let me just like tie it all together for you. Like, if this machine, quote unquote, that exists is able to send electrons back in time based on curving, what's the straightest path is the shortest distance, right? So by curving, we're creating longer paths that can then be circumvented by these shorter paths. If something can expect the ion to arrive before it gets there, when we can do that with all sorts of ways, biology is one of the best ways. So
no,
a mushroom,
the curving, though, the curving isn't curving the path. It's curving, it's making the line that's the closest path shorter. So
right,
think,
but there's a longer path
you
and
curve
a
it,
path.
Then they're going the still the shortest, straightest route.
But there's still longer paths, which are the more normal paths that are being taken by the majority of there's so basically there's a first runner, and the first runner gets there first and is waiting for when everyone arrives. And then that becomes what we consider the moment of now. But that moment of now is actually so wide that it's the past is infinite, the future is infinite. The now is infinite. Like every single now is happening at the same time. And there's different structures of atoms that are defining that. But each one of those is happening in a simultaneous resonance. And those resonances are defined by the Schumann resonance, right? So we have underground this weird signal that we feel, the Schumann resonance. And nobody is exactly sure what it is. But we know that it changes because of the Oracle of Delphi Caves. We can measure the change in the Schumann resonance. So that's defining what we consider right now and how long right now is. And Terence McKenna, also, he used to do all these studies on time wave theory. All of this comes back to the resonance.
It's all about the resonance, baby.
And mushrooms, yeah.
And mushrooms. What if, bear with me, what if mushrooms are the original, like...
Go there.
Minds, the I don't know.
Time-traveling...
Time-traveling mushrooms.
Technobiology.
Time-traveling technobiology.
Because they can travel back to the moment that they were started.
Well, because they're ever present.
They're ever present.
Like the mycelial network. Have you seen the new Star Trek Discovery?
No.
Okay. The first season is about them understanding how to travel around the universe via the mycelial network.
Oh man, there you go.
I think you would like
There's
that.
A little disclosure in that.
Well, spoiler. I guess it's a little too late. I kind of just spoiled it, but
that's real though. Who cares if it's a spoiler? It's true.
Well, you would love that. You should just. There's a few episodes. You can probably just get like a go type in Star Trek Discovery and then like a breakdown of the mycelial network of how they travel around.
You know,
it's pretty interesting.
There's Grand Sporia. As the idea that there's a sneeze of mushroom that's out into space,
right.
And that's where all of the reason is because we have the same neural hormones that mushrooms have. They're communicating by sending an exact memory of perception from one part of their being to another.
Well, there is people say that it's conspiracy theories. Other people say that it's not. There's reports of NASA found mushrooms on Mars. They've been claiming this for a while. It hasn't been proven yet. They're just going on pictures from NASA. But we don't know.
Well, Paul Stamets has done an amazing research into how space is actually formed through internodal nets the way mycelium is. So I kind of imagine just because of the way mycelium works that even if it evolved on its own, if things exist in carbon nets and silicon nets, it's a foregone conclusion.
All right, let's talk about mushrooms still. I mean, we're talking about mushrooms.
Mushrooms are great.
So someone in my Discord sent me this, and I thought this was really cool. Long before trees overtook the land, Earth was covered by giant mushrooms. 24 feet tall, 3 feet wide, these giant spores dotted the ancient landscape. And this is someone who, I guess, is standing in front of what would be considered
a fossilized
mushroom.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. From around 420... to 350, I had to say it that way.
Good job.
350 million years ago, when land plants were still relatively new kids on the evolutionary block, and the tallest trees stood just a few feet high, giant spires of life poked from the earth. The ancient organism boasted trunks of up to 24 feet, 8 meters high, and as wide as 3 feet. The National Geographic in 2007. Said that. With the help of fossil dug up in the Saudi Arabia, scientists finally figured out what the giant creature was. A fungus. Of course, they say we think it was a fungus. The towering fungus spires would have stood out against the landscape, scarce of such giants. This is a quote from Boyce, I guess, is... Who said this? Let's see. A 6-meter fungus would be odd enough in the modern world, but at least we are used to trees being quite bigger. Plants at the time were a few feet tall, invertebrate animals were small, and there were no terrestrial vertebrates. This fossil would have been all the more striking in such a diminutive landscape. fossils of the organisms known as prototaxids had peppered the paleontological findings of the past century and a half, ever since they were first discovered by Canadians, or in Kent, yeah, by a Canadian in 1859. But despite the fossil records, no one could figure out what the heck the giant spires were. This is from the University of Chicago.
Wow.
For the next 130 years, debate raged. Some scientists called prototaxids a lichen, others a fungus, and others still clung to the notion that it was some kind of tree. The problem is that when you look it up closely at the anatomy, it's evocative of a lot of different things, and it's diagnostic of nothing, says Boyce, an associate professor in geophysical sciences and the Committee of Evolutionary Biology. Hmm. And it's so damn big that when whatever someone says it's something, everyone else hackles, get up. How could you have a lichen 20 feet tall? And all I can think about is this man.
Yeah.
This is Dr. Robotnik. This is Jim Carrey. And he was basically banished at the end of Sonic.
What a mustache.
But this is the world that he was in. I mean, it is actually really beautiful.
Well, you also have to mention, these things don't breathe out oxygen, right?
No.
So, I mean, assuming that there are a Pisciconta. So that's another thing about prototrepids, mm-hmm. is that theoretically, and this is why people say fungus, is because the family in the metazoa that connects Animalia to fungus is so broad that it's probably one of those.
Yeah.
But what it would mean is that they don't breathe out oxygen. They breathe in oxygen. So it would really suck to walk through that forest because it would just be CO2 gas coming out of them all the time.
Interesting.
And so it really, like, the feedback loop of what happened when a Pisciconta went on to land and started breaking up the rock to make soil. I mean, eventually you have to produce, because they needed to eat oxygen. Something has to be producing more oxygen. So it brings land plants out from sea plants as right. well.
They're so, like, ooh, we like this CO2 yeah. and probably caused the trees that were only a few feet high to take in that CO2. Because I just did a study. I read about a study that there's a huge increase in the fauna on this planet. 17%
more. It's almost like fauna likes eating CO2.
Yeah.
Weird.
I know, right? So actually, mushrooms and fauna are a really good pair yeah. together.
But what
they feed off each other.
What you just said would have gotten you burned at the stake at some point, right? This idea, and laughed at, surely, up until 20 years ago in Santa Cruz when they started kind of opening up to this idea. But they didn't like the idea that there's a conscious entity that was gardening. I mean, somehow we're okay with beavers making dams. Yeah. Somehow we're okay with a lot of the things animals do. But this freaks people out because this is so close to an animal. But it's like
mushrooms.
Mushrooms are conscious. They use the same hormones as us.
Mushrooms are different than anything else on this planet, aren't
Absolutely.
They?
Absolutely.
They're really different.
But they're really similar to Animalia's. The main, that's why the animals and plants, like mushrooms, Opisliconta, are made up of animals and mushrooms. They're closer related to each other than they are to plants. Both of us are foreign to plants because they have no cell walls. What we have, though, that's separate from mushrooms is we have a social political body where the brain is in one place in a hierarchy.
Right? Okay.
And this is because you have single-celled organisms that become a string, then the string becomes like a necklace that opens up into a bay, and the bay can bring in food, but then eventually they also create teeth, and then they have a digestive tract. Like, we'll just deal with thinking. We'll be the brain. You be the digestive tract. Mushrooms don't do this. Mushrooms have internodal systems of lung stem, brain stem, stomach, digestive tract, everywhere.
Everything is everything.
Living meatball. Yeah, but not everything is everything. There's still some specialization. It's just that it's everywhere at once, and you get to pick what you do.
Interesting.
The more everything is everything, also, you look at the siphonosphoric jellyfish, also follows the same model. It can be broken up into 1,000 different jellyfish, but it's one kind of living organism. So,
what kind of jellyfish?
Siphonosphoric.
Siphonosphoric.
Yeah, it's
never heard of it.
You've got a picture of one on your wall, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right.
But the thing about the mushroom, though, is that it can grow with one cell wall thick to have all of these different parts. So these mushrooms you're saying that are 24 feet tall, that's nothing compared to what we think some of these giant Opisliconta were. Like some of these mesas, right? And in Scotland, there's these weird stones that come out of the ground like perfect tubes in these resonant geological patterns. we think were probably a Piscataquinta at some point, or somehow forced out by mushrooms that were growing them.
Hmm.
So in the mesas that look like giant silicon trees. This is a big internet thing, is silicon trees. A lot of the silicon trees were actually prototopids.
Interesting. What about the idea that ancient human beings ate mushrooms?
Oh, clearly.
And became enlightened.
Well, the fact that they have the same neural hormones as us, it seems like, again, it's a foregone conclusion that we were using them for a very long time. We can go back to the Neanderthals carrying a skull with fire in it, and they have ritual taboos where they're using mushrooms.
Yeah.
How far back beyond that you want to go? Paul Stamets is probably the best. He's got a book on the use of psychogenesis in mushrooms. And then also Terence McKenna. Like, this is their field, this idea of mushrooms affecting human consciousness. I'm for it, frankly, because it makes the most sense. If you start to intake specific neural hormones, that it'll change your perceptions. My theory, which is like based on the hypothesis of Alexander Shulgin, which was essentially that we have hooks and loops in our system. We have doors without the keys. And the plants, a lot of the time, in nature, are the keys to open these doors. And the reason, biologically, is if you went around thinking this way all the time, you would get eaten by a tiger, right? But if you have the safety net that sometimes you want to think outside the box, or you want to connect with a specific forest, like you're in that Avatar movie,
right,
moment, then you can open the door and close the door again.
Well, don't we have receptors in our brain that are designed specifically to like connect with THC,
right? Cannabinoids, for instance,
right? But we're one of the few mammals on this planet that have those receptors in our brains.
Weird, right?
Yeah, it is weird.
Comes back to that whole we're being engineered by insects from space,
something
future.
Or mushrooms.
Yeah, which is the main thing I think is that we're kind of these umbilical. Spelunking scuba divers attached on yo-yo strings to the mushroom homeostasis cathedral.
Jeez.
You know, and the mushroom is aware of this for a long time.
Yeah.
You know how redwood trees have root systems that can connect old redwoods with young redwoods? So the memories in the root structure, they can actually, they've done tests, it can feel when a redwood gets cut down miles away because of the nervous system.
I didn't know that. That's pretty amazing.
That reminds
me of this mushroom that you were talking about, this giant mushroom. Is the largest organism ever.
For example.
This is right now. This was written in 2019. I'm assuming this thing is still alive.
Yeah, but there are more giant mushrooms that we're not even fully able to measure because of how big they are.
Really?
Yeah.
So something bigger than this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, easily.
So just letting you guys know, this is humongous fungus, a colony of fungal clones that stretches over 2,385 acres. That's like 3.6 square miles.
All one cell wall thick. I mean, come on. That, mushrooms everywhere.
That is one colony of mushrooms that big right now. And that's what we know about.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, there's funguses that are less visually aesthetic, that don't have giant fleshy, caps that grow, that are just like mold or like fungus. And there's even some of this that exists in parts of our atmosphere. It looks like there's something that's living in the atmosphere that's a mycelial-based network as well.
Yeah,
so they're, all over the place. There are giant, and it can feel somewhere. I mean, 1 square foot, when you step down in that forest, you're going to cover 5 to 10 miles of mycelial network that connects all these things.
It's pretty amazing.
So it's really all the mycelium in the ground that's the, where the
It reminds me, you brought up Avatar in a second, and you were talking about tripping in the forest, connecting to the planet, but then she does that test, and she's like, there's more neurons in this that connect, it's more than the human brain. It's like, everything's connected to everything. It's like, maybe, I mean, all living things have DMT in it. On this planet, like, we're all connected with at least that,
right?
And that's pretty incredible to think about.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
So I mean, this idea incredible. Of collective consciousness seems pretty real. And also looking at how mushrooms connect all of these different species, like the fact that they're creating these environments where there's redwood trees, and then there's animals that live in there. There's a bird that picks up a fish that drops it into a mud pond on the 200-foot level of the redwood tree. So there's fish living in ponds and trees. Like, all of this is decided by something, and it's actually being engineered in a lot of ways by this giant mushroom.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
I like it.
All right, let's get in some super chats
and
keep it moving. We've probably got some questions to answer from these
poor people
because we've been going. It's been awesome.
Let's see. Hit a lot of bases.
Yeah, Robert Wild says, I can't wait for the pic that I showed you of me and my niece wearing Star Wars helmets. Gets here, I'll make a vid and show you. Be blessed, Adam, in chat. Hope you have seen my niece video now. I have seen it. Yep, yep, I saw it. It was very sweet. And I can't wait for you to have it as well. Andrew says, COVID vax goes against the Geneva Convention and the Nuremberg Code of Ethics. All involved will be given the death sentence for war crimes. All right, well, that's a very strong take. Mark G says, please sign my change.org petition to rename Tuesday to Exertus Day. I'll do that. I have signed it already.
Oh my gosh. All right, I'll help.
Likes Pringle says, they should have brought up the bill a few weeks ago when Asians were a minority being discriminated against. Don't they know Asians are privileged again? Yeah, they like to pick and choose when they want to victimize people, essentially.
Yeah.
Only when it's convenient for
time,
them.
Time, place, and manner.
Yep. Vicidia says, have you heard anything about Jim Biden recently? Because I haven't seen anything about him. He's always elbows deep in some kind of shady business. Curious to know what he's doing now. He is now protected by the President of the United States. So. Yeah,
he'll be all right.
Kent Leon Welling says, yeah, my two dudes, what up? Hey, Kent, how you doing? You know Kent.
Oh, it's Kent?
It's Kent.
Kent.
Kent Welling.
Love you, boy.
How you doing, bro? Gronach says, hi there, Adam. My wife and I are in New Zealand, and the kids are kids' TV shows are full of trans characters. Mm-hmm. Original Dragon Ball for a 9-year-old girl, it is. Nice.
Nice.
Thank you. Good excellent. Show. Thank you for being involved with what your kids watch. That's very important. Khalid Cooper, thank you for that super chat. You didn't say anything, but I do appreciate the support. Let's see. Ryzen says, that's not true. To honor Muhammad, who had red hair, Muslims dye their beards red.
This is also true, which is very interesting. And I'm not going to thank you for bringing that up. Just guys, look into what he just said. It's really interesting.
Interesting. Robert Wild says, you will not tell me what I can do or say. I'm a free American. Try and stop me. Be blessed, Adam, and guest and chat. This needs to stop this craziness. I agree. It's crazy.
I'm an American.
We need to stop this craziness.
I'm an American. I can say whatever I want. Wash your hands.
Well, you can't use certain gifts anymore.
Oh, man.
Because it's racist.
I hate to say it, but if you look up Exertus gifts in your keyboard, you're going to find some of those already made. Because I'm an equal opportunity person.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all gifts are created equal under Exertus.
We're a spirit being memes.
Mark G says, incoming hyperinflation, racial tensions being stoked, censorship, vote removal. Yeah, this totally doesn't sound similar to 1930s in Europe.
It feels like a parallel dimension, like a timeline that's spiraling off. I like it.
Spiraling off. That's what it feels like. Kinda. My goodness. Sectus Gaming says, Dems are fawning all over Biden. C-SPAN posted a video of him driving a Ford truck, 1:30, tilted, titled, This Sucker is Quick. Who cares? Yeah, and you know what's really messed up? Some reporter said, hey, before you go, can I ask you just one question about, you know, the Israel thing that's going on and, you know, your basically your participation in, like, the weapons and, you know, the money spent over there. And he goes, no, only if you get in front of my truck when I hit the gas.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, well, first off, it's an electric vehicle, so it's not gas. And second off, a real reporter would have been like, done.
Yeah.
And went and stood in front of the truck and been like, answer the damn question.
Right. I want to be Geraldo, kind of.
Is that something he did?
I feel like he would have. You know, what would Geraldo do? Do you have the bracelet? No?
No. Okay. Is that right. No. Is that what that bracelet stands for? Brittany says, are they going to take down the Exertus refaces on Tenor where Andreas is another race?
No, because we're all one race. Not. Plot twist.
Thank you. That is the answer. Are they going to... What, because we're another race? No. One race, humans. Yeah. We're all human beings.
Yeah.
We could look... And I even... This is a joke, but it's a sad truth. I said, next, I'm not even going to be allowed to be inspired by a black person or look up to a black person because they're black and I'm white.
To share feels will be banned. Yeah.
It's like...
Wow.
That's it. They're not even gonna allow that. They're gonna be like, whoa. That's is it racist? I don't know.
I've always been an outlaw.
Crazy, man.
I'm gonna be tolerant together.
I've always been an outlaw.
You know? I believe
in
love.
I look up to whoever I want.
I believe in love.
I believe in love, man. Mark G says Biden is a communist bought husk.
Well, don't give him too much credit.
He is a husk, though.
Yeah.
We'll give him that.
Yeah.
We'll give him credit to be a husk.
Yeah.
Mark Robichaud says, Biden forgot who owns him, bro. Probably.
Yeah. I mean, too many people, too many seventh mortgages on his soul. Yeah.
Sejong the Great, how you doing? Adam Exertus, I grew up being taunted and mocked by black kids for my race. Racism is everywhere. The problem is what you do with it. I agree. It is everywhere. I'm saying it is. It's everywhere. I see it. But it's coming from the Democrats.
I mean, yeah.
They're trying to push it.
Civilization is perpetuating this thing, which if you imagine, okay, if you grew up in 17th century in Louisiana, where there were black mayors.
Where no one did.
Well, I mean.
No one alive today grew up then.
True. But if you did, like, racism didn't exist the same way there. Because there were black people that spoke French, and they were treated very differently.
Okay.
You have governors, you have mayors, you have an entirely different way of looking at things.
Well, they don't want to know about that, though.
Yeah, we have to imagine how new this problem is. That's all I'm trying to say.
I feel like a spin is in order right now.
Yeah. He's actually erasing time and going back. And fixing the civil rights.
No, that's if
movement.
I spin the other way.
Oh, we're going forward.
This
we're going where
forward.
No one's gone before.
I'm trying to move past this BS.
That's a romantic.
Goodness
let's
sakes.
Get out of it.
Let's see. Sectus Gaming says, when you realize a handful of the future tech in movies is actually real, the military Jeep in Halo, the Warthog, runs off water, 0 point energy. And didn't some guy create an engine that ran off water?
Oh, many
times.
And
then the government bought it and just deleted everything.
Oh, yeah. Look into Coral Castle.
Gone.
Look what they did in Coral Castle.
I lived right near Coral Castle.
Ooh, yeah. Nice. Yeah.
When I tried to be on a show like 4 years ago with Tim Pool.
Rain check. We'll
didn't
do
work
it again.
Then, and I guess it didn't work
we'll
this
rain,
time either.
We'll rain check that one.
Chapter Master Dante says, how do you gents feel about federal service? No vote until you choose to do some hard community service. Would you like to know more? I mean, isn't that Starship Troopers?
I love Starship Troopers, but if
Starship Troopers,
I'd have to be in intelligence. But otherwise, if as long as there's a 20 and back, I'm down. I'll do the 20 and back, I think.
What's 20 and back? What do you mean?
Remember earlier talking about if I went to Saturn and I was in a submarine and I get to
20
go
20 years and go back.
And then,
and go back.
So then
I
right
see.
Now, I'd get memories back also from my simuloid. So there'd be a robot organic mass here, which seems like Andreas, but is a robot, which you've met.
Are you admitting to me that you are a robot?
Sometimes they replace me with a simuloid before I got back for the 20 and back. Right now, I'm clearly me, no? Eh?
I don't know, man. You've made it
you've
seem
seen me when I'm a robot, I'm pretty sure.
Did you just robot on me?
I
saw it.
I can neither
you guys saw it
nor deny.
He's a robot. I got you.
But yeah, service is service guarantees citizenship.
I like look down and he's like plugged into the wall down there. Like, wait a minute, what?
I like to stay grounded.
I'm charging. Currently charging. Let's see. Where are we at? Sejong again says, so the speed of light in the E equals MC squared is just assuming that light always travels the same speed in a vacuum.
Right.
We have proven that light in other mediums can change.
Right.
We have affected protons in time. And that's what we were talking about, vacuums, and how, well, you know, because we don't know that space is a pure vacuum.
We know it's not.
Everywhere. Well, at a constant.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's not at a constant. We know it's not a constant.
Exactly.
Vacuum. It's variable.
And that's the issue.
Yeah, I mean, amongst other things, but there's also through water. Laser through water is pretty clearly, and there's water in space and places, you know. But Einstein gets a lot of credit for stuff that Lemaitre did, right? So look up Lemaitre. It's Lemaitre, L-E-M-A-I-T-R-E. He was a priest that, you see pictures of him on his wall, M squared is equal to E. He was working on the formula.
He was getting there.
And Einstein took it and popularized his work, but he said that there's no Big Bang. There's no, it's always happening. And he was just trying to make it weird. Uh-huh. And it didn't work, and Einstein ended up welching and saying, my bad, I was wrong.
Let's talk about that next week.
Yeah, we'll do Lemaitre. That's good.
Yeah, let's talk about him.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Texas Horse Rescue, so, I like your name, and if that's what you do, thank you.
Yeah, we honor your service.
You. Imagine politics affecting animal rescue. Our rescue, Becky's Hope, it is awesome. Had a grant canceled after foundation discovered who some of our volunteers voted for in 2020. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
We're all unpaid. The grant was for a shelter of horses. That is terrible and
That sums it up.
And ridiculous.
And
they're trying to politicize
horses.
Everything. No, I mean, they're trying to vilify anyone that goes against the narrative.
Yeah.
You fall in line or you're done.
Yeah.
Period. That's just the way it is now.
Yeah, toe the party line.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Man, it's crazy. I'm sorry to hear that, Texas Horse Rescue.
I hope
Rescue.
Somebody reaches out to you because, like, horses need love, you know?
I agree. Free My ponies. Mom has two horses. They're amazing.
Awesome.
They're amazing animals. Sean Jack says, for a well-done time travel indie film, Primer will definitely have you thinking fourth dimensionally to figure out what is happening from the start. Have you seen that?
I seconded and thirded. I brought it up earlier today.
Primer?
Primer's the one to watch.
Is it?
Yeah, it's amazing. $7,000 film, 16mm film, shot in Texas by a physicist and a high school teacher. The movie
back
is...
Back in 2004.
It's incredibly vividly accurate to... I wonder how much he knows. That's all I'm saying.
Cool, check it out. Binder Bank says, Ian would say Luca already figured out time travel when she used her teleporter on Marley's pendant. Exert, good job on elements, my brother. Spin the UFO.
Thank you.
Absolutely. No.
Oh, yeah, I thought that was
You know what? Hey, I didn't mean to take that from you.
I have to do the button.
I don't understand why it's just... You just hold the button down.
I just don't believe and then
it
starts to work.
Everyone seems to have issues with it.
Look at it wobble. I like the wobble.
That's some extra spin right there. My goodness. All right.
I like it.
Sectus Gaming says, since you mentioned the Majestic 12, you should check out a documentary called... Above Majestic has a guy who did multiple 20s and back.
Cool.
A cool
one.
Watch, 100%. Have you seen it?
I love it. Also, you should look into Eisenhower's granddaughter, right?
Okay.
Get her on the show, you know, interview her, because she's an MK Ultra, you know, kitten who has dealt with possession by alien intelligences.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, I just had a super chat jump. Give me a second to find where we were. Robert Weil says, check out the movie Philadelphia Experiment to see what happens when they try to screw with time. You will like it, Adam. Be blessed and chat. Thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Make sure.
Have you seen that one?
Yeah, of course. But make sure, and it's kind of interesting with the X-Files episodes about the Philadelphia Experiment too. Look into it. It's a real thing. But also the sixth episode of Ninja Turtles Season 1, which is Hot Rodding Teenagers from Dimension X, is all about the Philadelphia Experiment and our interaction with Dimension X, which is why, yeah, you definitely watch that too.
Cool. I'll check it out. Sectus Gaming says, must have just skipped one. I got you. NASA, never straight A answer. Want to believe them. They've done too many shady things for my trust. Love is the key to density travel and Merkaba activation, fractal holograph reality, folks. Cool.
Yeah, they've made love sound like one word when it's actually like seven. And this is because love really is a physical context to, you know, this is the density is love, whatever that means.
Mark Robichaud says, sorry, I've solved time travel. It's simple. Just calculate the position of every particle.
Right.
Then you change the position of those particles to part one.
Exactly. Or make it happen again.
How easy is that, though?
Well, I mean, if you have a bunch of mousetraps laid out the same way as before, and you throw the ball exactly in the same place as before, it should, within a range, be pretty similar to what happened before. No, that's the idea of reproducing something.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
Let's see. Byron Bank says, Michael Lyko on YouTube plays the synths with shrooms.
Okay,
hold on.
Is he like banging on mushrooms, you're saying?
I don't know. Let's look at that.
Oh, he's impaired psychologically by the acute schizophrenics. I see.
Why isn't it? Here we go.
I really recommend like more than psychedelic mushrooms.
That's not,
I recommend
that's
like
definitely not it.
Turkey tail mushrooms, and you know, look into Paul Stamets and the health benefits of mushrooms.
Nothing came up for that, but that's cool. Lucky Lookadoo says, "Dude, this is absolutely the best convo I've heard on your site. You two click for an excellent debate." Well, it wasn't even a debate. What?
It was a steal, man. We were both trying to hear each other out.
Yeah,
love
yeah.
you, bro.
That's how it works.
I feel wooed by
you.
Got
to be able to listen. To the other person. Mark Robshaw says, oh, okay, wait. He had two. That was two. Part one was that first super chat.
Compliment chat.
This is... Okay, so I'm going to read his super chat again. Sorry, I've solved time travel. It's simple. Just calculate the position of every particle. Then you change the position of those particles to a different time. You can move through time itself without destroying anything. Time is just a measure of change.
Right. Yeah.
That's the full super chat.
So imagine if you're like using a different sun and the degradation of molecule matter is actually a different level of degradation.
Hmm.
So yeah, absolutely. Time is subjective to light damage.
Robert Shaw again says, largest biomass on the planet is fungi. Well, we actually, I think he sent that probably before we read that
article.
We're
all fungi here, you know?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Robert Shaw says, the physical is determined by the mind.
To an extent.
I was about to say.
There's a range.
Maybe.
The mind is created as well. But so there is a range of perception that you can control. And reality shifting is real, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you can shift your reality, you can make a better reality.
As long as you pay attention.
That's true.
Vasidius, I like this. So DMT equals the force? I dig it. Let's just go with yes. Can we just go with yes? Is that what you were going to say? Yes?
There are a lot of tryptamines out there.
Just say yes.
Neural hormones are the force.
Oh, things that are in everything?
Yeah.
It's not just DMT?
Serotonin might be. How about that?
Okay. Carl's Jr. says, plants have the thickest cell walls. Fiber. And we need it to be.
Yeah, I think I might have, thank you, I might have reversed that. Humans have the lack of cell wall and the plants have the thickest cell wall. Is that the deal?
I'm not sure what All you right. said.
Thank you for correcting that.
Kyle says, best show yet. Just got my copy of The Sacred Mushroom and Cross. Also search 121 grams at O'ReillyAuto.com. Andreas, where can I find more time travel information?
Definitely go on my channel and watch my latest video.
Where's your channel? How do they find it?
XIRTUS on YouTube, and Exertus is the channel. Yeah.
XIRT.
XIR, just like the pronoun, and then TUS, Exertus.
Exertus. Yeah.
Which is down at the bottom of his screen, right, Yar, you know?
Exertus. So it's at the very, that's actually just your YouTube channel, right? Your
if you Andreas go to my, Exertus? If you go to Twitter, you'll also find the link to my videos there, too.
So you can find it right there.
Yeah.
And it's also on the bottom of the screen, right? Over there.
That's true. Look at this.
See it?
Look at that.
Over there.
Look at that. It's amazing.
Down there. All right. You can check it out. And definitely check him out. He's got incredibly hilarious videos. Mark Robichaud says, I feel that we all share the same soul. The physical is the only thing that makes us different. The theory of the egg is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What's this theories of the egg? What's that?
Well, this is the peacock Yazidi tribe idea. Like, also this idea that the universe is like a spiraled out egg that's been rolled across.
Mm.
I wonder if you're talking about that. If you're not, then tell me if I'm wrong. But I think that's what you mean, and I agree. I think we are also projecting curiarchy around us to divide our experiences up. Because if they're all happening simultaneously, you want to not know everything else so you can focus on this moment.
Interesting. Jonathan says, shroom rulers, maybe? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
They could be.
Egyptian puppies from space that made it. It's possible. You never know.
Ravishaw says, Jesus studied under the Buddha. Okay. Batgoat says, hi, Adam. Hey, new Ian. Whoa. No.
Dude, I look pretty different.
People tried to compare me and Ian. Totally not the same people.
I like how people try to make something fit into their reality.
They tried to. Yeah. Now they're trying to make you new Ian. No.
Yeah. I've known Ian for a long time.
This is Exertus?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've known him for years, and he's a really interesting guy, but I do think we're pretty dynamically
different. He is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But you guys are very different. Yeah. Let's see. Ryzen says, I am really impressed with the collective knowledge you both. One of the best lives you've ever had, Adam. Appreciate you both. And he's chat, please check out the origins of Muhammad's red beard. Oh, please. Please, chat. Must have been a typo. Yeah, please, chat. Check it out. The origins of Muhammad. That's another thing. Let's talk about it next week.
I am so
bring some stuff up.
I am so terrified to do that.
Oh,
Are
really?
You kidding me?
I don't know.
Yeah, like they don't like
they come,
to talk about.
Would they come
that.
At us now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
maybe we shouldn't do
let's,
that.
Let's we'll be careful. We'll look into what we
okay.
can do. We'll see what we can do.
Ryzen again said so many typos in the last super chat. Forgive me. talk to text sucks. Now I recognize that. It's okay. No worries. But thank you very much. It must have been one of the best live shows that I've had.
They've been so excited about how live and best it was.
It's true.
I'm flattered.
It is live and best. Yeah. I mean, hey, look at you. Look at you go. It's such a drastic. We've come so far from the first time you were on the show.
That was the robot. That was the simuloid.
You came on and you were like, I'm going to set the bar really low.
So I was on a
any
mission.
Future episode's going to be way better.
Now we can disclose that. I was on a mission on Saturn in a submarine that day, and I had to send the simuloid. That's all that happened.
It was the robot that day. that makes sense. Okay.
I'm just fighting for freedom.
Sectus Gaming says, yes, Laura Eisenhower is a great source.
Oh,
nice shout out. Cool. Yeah. I don't even know anything about her.
We could get her on your show, I'm sure.
Okay, help me out. Yeah. Sejong the Great says, so here's how light in a vacuum works. I used to manufacture 11 7mm silicone.
Yeah.
How we do it is we pump a machine down to a deep vacuum, and then we shoot a CO2 laser at tin droplets to generate EUV.
It's absolutely the way we do it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Whoever said that, like, reach out. We should talk sometime. I did that a lot back in the day, back at school. Look at the movie Real Genius with Val Kilmer.
Great movie.
All about this. Yeah. Yeah, theoretically.
I haven't seen that movie in a long time. What a cool movie that was.
Yeah, the gas laser. Let's get into that.
The laser that... Bunch of popcorn at the end of the
movie. Well, yeah, they change the frequency it's popping at. All right, don't ruin the spoilers.
Sorry. The movie's like 20 years old.
Only if you haven't seen the 20 and back.
It's probably like 30 years old.
Yeah, 1982. It's actually...
It came out in 1982?
Yeah.
So it's 40 years old.
Yeah, but again, 220 and backs, and it might be new to you. So,
so maybe it's new. Byron Banks says, I sent you a YouTube link on Discord. Right on, I'll check it out. In regards to the Myco Lyco stuff. Cool. Sectus Gaming says, the Myco Lyco, or whatever his name is, he hooks up mushrooms to a synth and something else, and the fungus plays music with their biorhythm.
Oh, epic. That sounds perfect. I'm very interested in that. Thank you.
Hold on. We are absolutely going to check this out right now.
That makes a lot of sense. Oh, my gosh. Dude. I'm going to listen to this all day. This is beautiful.
This is your music.
This is like the kind of music I listen to.
This is really,
that's terrifying. That's real.
I almost expected to look over to you and you see you turn into a mushroom. Things just start popping out. You're like, stop playing it.
Jeff Goldman, The Fly. Yeah, I feel it. I like that.
I mean, that's pretty crazy looking.
That looks like a good elementary school science fair
that's
project.
Pretty cool. Thank you Byron, I appreciate that.
Thank you
that's
so much.
Hilarious. My goodness. Donald T said, the full equation is E2 equals P2C2,
right,
plus M2C4, and as E is squared, it is theoretically possible to have negative energy.
It's true.
Interesting. Well, maybe it could be P squared C squared. I'm not sure exactly, because you can't obviously do that in text here. Sectus Gaming said, these conversations are my bread and butter. More episodes like this, please. Waking people up to the fractal reality we all experience is what it's all about. Absolutely. Amen. Loved this episode so far. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Jesus says, I'm enjoying this a lot. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Mark Robichaud says, I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago. You know who else isn't the same person?
Anybody?
Anybody.
Yeah.
I was going to say this guy.
This
but
guy here, yeah.
You,
no,
me,
yeah.
You out there, like...
Every Saturnalia, your cells are completely replaced.
Nobody could... You guys couldn't hear the music? Wait, what? Why?
Oh, no.
I don't understand. Why?
Well, guys, I'll put a link on my Discord and yours, too.
No, you guys can't hear the music.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's so lame.
You guys gotta look it up, though. It's pretty exciting.
I'm dropping this in there.
Yeah, cool.
All right, I just dropped the link to the YouTube 5 minutes of Pink Oyster Mushroom playing a modular synthesizer. That's what it is. It has 1.3 million views on it, and it's from November 2020.
This is amazing.
November 20, 2020.
You know the Twinkie test where they try to see if a Twinkie's smart and it can't write anything down, so it's dumb?
No.
This is the opposite of that. This is like, how is a mushroom great at music?
The mushroom's like, I'm going to drop this beat here.
We need to do more things like this. Try to figure out how things are smart already.
Interesting.
What they're good at, you know?
Vasidius, I'll try to find your super chat. I don't see it anywhere, man. No, I don't see it. Vasidius said, did my super chat disappear? Yeah, I don't see anything about the London Hammer.
Hmm.
Have you heard of the London Hammer?
What is the London Hammer?
I have no idea. Vasidius is in chat saying, hey, did my super chat disappear? You know what? I actually have my super chats on the other side here. Let me just do a little quick scope of see if I can find it here. Vasidius, there's one.
The London Hammer is a hammer made of iron and wood that was found in London, Texas in 1936, embedded in limey rock. An anomalous artifact that makes them wonder about silicone trees and 400 million year old encased rock around it makes you think it's a much older find. So maybe somebody in a space time, like the Terra Nova show, going back.
Yeah, I don't see it anywhere. Vasidius must have gotten deleted. It's not even in my normal super chats or in my other area, like in my studio behind the scenes stuff.
There's some weird stuff, like the London That's hammer, weird. Though. There's like the silicone chip they found in Ukraine and Siberia that was embedded in rock.
Huh.
There's a lot of like ideas of like something getting trapped back in time.
Interesting. Let's see. Sejong says light changes speed as it moves through all mediums.
Right.
We used nitrogen in the beam path and a deeper than a space vacuum where it shot tin. Interesting.
Yeah, bromine plasma. It seems to be one of the fastest ways that we've used so far.
Interesting, interesting. All right, well, thank you guys.
Yeah.
Andreas, man. Whoa. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you for having
me. Thank you for joining me.
Can't wait to do Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesdays. Exertus Day.
Oh, my gosh.
It's no longer Tuesdays.
It's Krigzertus Day.
Krigzertus
Day, yeah.
It's got a good ring to it. Well, thank you all for tuning in. This is The Krigler Show. I will be back, of course, here 6:30 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. So we'll be back Wednesday. Probably Savannah will be joining us, hopefully, because she's fantastic. And then, of course, you could check me out on my Twitch channel later on tonight, twitch.tv/AdamKrigler. Really easy to find me. I play different games and get into lots of different shenanigans with my homies. You guys, oh, I had one more. Sejong says, Cymer/ASML, we built all the machines that manufacture your phones, processors, Intel, TSMC, etc. All use the machines. Very cool.
Wow.
Right on. Well, thank you very much for that super chat. Thank you all for your support. If you haven't subscribed, please do subscribe. Please smash that like button on your way out. And I'm going to spin this here UFO for you. I'll see y'all next time. Please smash the like button for The Krigler Show, coming to you live Monday through Friday, 6:30 Eastern Time.